This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Heroes, was delivered on November 14th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
That is delightful to you. We thank you for the cheerful givers in this church, the generous givers in this church, Lord God, that we can carry forth the work that this church is designed to do, Lord God, and in preparation for the future work in saving the lost. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Frank.
Got him?
Good morning. Hey, so some of us guys was we're doing our No Shave November. That's why I look so scruffy. And you know the thing about the No Shave November, it's a cancer awareness thing, because cancer patients usually lose their hair, and it's a month that we embrace our hair, and they say all the money we save shaving donate to the cancer patients. So, and we have some in this church which I've been giving money to on the GoFundMe, so that's the reason I look like this. Yeah, so but I do have to shave next week because I do have a wedding and a funeral, so I cannot look like this for a wedding, right? Pretty so yeah, I cannot look so scruffy looking, because if it was a contest on who looks the scruffiest, I would win. All right, so hey, we gave cards to the veterans, and look, they sent us a picture.
Aww.
Yeah? Isn't that great? So, hey, I talked to Heather back there. She said, so I said, why don't we, you know, would it be sad if they only got cards on Veterans Day? What if they got cards on Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
So,
Thanksgiving.
Heather's going to get something together, because Heather is our Air Force person. She's going to get something together where we can make cards, Christmas cards, for our veterans. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah, so, and by the slipper and the food drive, I thought, you know, this would be a good year at Christmas to give instead of taking. So we want to give slippers and food to our community. So that's what, and that's why we're doing these things. So, it's an exciting season, man. It's like Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're in high gear and getting things going. Well, hey, you know, this. How many of you had this past Thursday off? All the retired guys, they don't raise their hand.
State worker.
State worker. Well, it was Veterans Day. And, you know, we may have had heroes when we were growing up, and we know, when I was a young kid, you know, you look to your superheroes, you know, you put your blanket around your neck and you jump off the couch, and you know, when you get older, you kind of look to different people. I was looking at sports people, even if they wasn't great role models. I actually liked one of the 49er guys, Ronnie Lott. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and you know, some of the basketball players, I admired these guys, and you know, sometimes you wonder what would it be like to be in their shoes. Of course, I couldn't fit in their shoes, and no way, because I would have been too short anyway. Yeah, and as I grew up, you know, the guys I looked up to kind of changed. It went from the sports guys to the guys like Billy Graham or Francis Chan, or you know, all these guys who disciple people. They get the word out in such a way that is like dynamic, and I've been considering these guys. These are the guys that, wow, I look up to, and sometimes I think I would want to be like them, but maybe not, because I gotta be me. I cannot try and be somebody else. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, if you put a movie star with one of these guys and they walked in the door right now, I would go to one of these guys like Billy Graham or Francis Chan and talk to them. I actually got a picture with Francis Chan, and James did too. And he's, if you ever heard, never heard him speak, he's really dynamic. Yeah. One of the heroes that I would really, really admire is the American veteran who sacrificed so much for this country, for our freedom, regardless of what people thought of the war. These guys went to war even when some of these guys, men and women of this country, protested the war. And they fought. Some gave their lives never to return home again. Some were wounded. And, you know, life changed as they knew it. So, if you're a veteran, I would like for you to stand up because I'd like to honor you. Any vets here? I know we got some. Please stand. Yes. Keep standing. Stay standing. We wanna give you a cup of coffee on us. Yeah. Woo. Thank you so much. Could you imagine, like, some of these guys? Some of these guys went to war, and some of them came back with maybe a missing arm or a missing leg or something. And, you know, for us guys, we like to fish. And imagine if your arm got taken off. It's like, man, what am I supposed to do? I guess you could go trolling with an electric reel. But that kind of takes the fun. The electric reel takes the fun out of fighting the fish. You know, and as I was thinking about the American veteran, I thought about Senator Inouye. You ever heard of Senator Inouye? He was part of the 442nd. My uncle was actually part of the 442nd. And I was looking up online. If you ever looked up online how he lost his arm, it is like a page out of Hollywood. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was reading when I read about how he lost his arm and he got shot and he was charging after this machine gun bunker and the German guy threw a grenade. It kind of severed his arm and he had a grenade in his hand ready to throw it, and the grenade blew off, severed his arm. And the troops were coming, and he told them stay back because he didn't want to know if his hand was going to relax or not. And he was already shot in the stomach. So he got up. He told the guy stay back because he didn't want the hand to relax. So he got up when the German guy was reloading his machine gun. He got up, pried the grenade out of his severed arm. And when the machine gun guy was ready to shoot, he threw the grenade at him with his other arm. And thus they got all three machine gun bunkers. That's like, man, Hollywood couldn't write a better script. Because you always see him when he was our senator, you always see him missing the arm. And I never thought of how he lost it. And when I read the story, I was like, wow, that's crazy. I think, how come I never seen a movie about that? Did they? Maybe they did, but I didn't see it. But I thought, like, wow. So to our veterans, thank you so much. Words can never be enough to show our gratitude for the sacrifice that you have made. And we just truly appreciate you. So today we're talking about heroes, like our veterans. When I'm going to look to the Bible, who is your biblical hero? Do you have any? Because there's like so much heroes in the Bible. You know, when I think about heroes, the first come to mind is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys heard of those three guys?
Yeah.
Those guys were incredible. This happened. There was these three guys, see, the Israelites, they were disobedient. How many of you ever been disobedient? Okay, the rest is lying. We need to do a sermon on lying? No, but so they were disobedient. So they got taken captive to Babylon. Now, the king of Babylon made this statue and said, you got to bow down and pray to this statue. And, you know, these three guys said, we're not bowing down. It's against our Ten Commandments. They have no other gods before you. So they were not going to bow to this idol. And we know that the king said, if you do not bow down to this idol of me, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And I was just like, crazy. I mean, if we were faced with a fiery furnace, would we stay loyal to God? Or would we, you know, would we bow? So these guys, this is what their answer to the king was. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. So, but if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Wow. These guys were like so adamant about not worshiping other gods, which the reason that they were there, because the nations was worshiping other gods, and God said, you know what? I'm going to send you away for 70 years so that when you come back, you learn to worship me. So that's like, I think of those three guys and I think like, wow. What courage, what faith. Because he said, we're not going to bow. Even if our God delivers us or not, I'm not going to bow. So in other words, yeah, put me to death. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to bow and serve that other God. My next hero in the Bible is Queen Esther. And it was about the same time. And Queen Esther was Hebrew. She was Jewish. She wasn't queen at the beginning of the book of Esther. She was just a regular commoner. And the queen displeased the king, so he sent her away, never to see her again. And they got young women to come before the king. They groomed them and they trained them. And whichever one the king selected, that was going to be the next queen. So Queen Esther, or Esther at that time, was chosen to be the new queen. Now, in the king's cabinet, there was this guy named Haman. He hated the Jewish people. He hated them with a passion. He wanted them to be completely wiped out. So he went to the king. He said, there's a bunch of people who kind of, their laws are different. They don't support what you stand for. So I think we should eliminate them. Not knowing that queen was part of this race. So the king, I don't know why he didn't check. He didn't. So he signed the decree that on this certain date, everybody can go and fight and eliminate this race, which was the Jewish race, the Hebrews. So Esther's uncle, Mordecai, says, you know, this is what's happening. You're the queen. You got to go do something about it because you were put here for such a time as this. But see, back then, the queen, she couldn't just walk into the king. You had to be called to the king. And if you walked into the king without being invited, you could be put to death. unless the king held out his scepter to you, then it was okay. So she had the thing, what do I do? Do I go and risk my life? Or do I just kind of let things play out? And her uncle said, you know, if this happens, you're not going to be spared either. So she told her people, fast and pray for me. And she went in to the king. He held out his scepter. And the story goes on, and she does bang. She served him food and everything. And she lets the king know, why have you signed this decree to eliminate me and my people? And the king is like, what? When did I do that? Well, you did that because you didn't check. How many of you always press the button on the bottom of the stuff? Agree, without reading. Yeah? We don't know what we're agreeing to, right? The bottom of a rental car agreement, the airline thing, agree. Click, ooh. Yeah, not even the first couple lines. Who knows what we're agreeing to, yeah? But that's what happened. And then Esther 4:15 says, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Whew! We tried 24 hours and we struggled. Night or day. And my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. And I was thinking like, wow. And because she did that, she saved her people. In fact, the day came for them, the people, to eliminate the Jews. They fought back and they beat up the guys who was going to attack them. It's like, oh, cool. My next hero is Joseph, man. If you ever read the story of Joseph, it's like, wow. He was one of those who had a dream. And sometimes when we have a dream and it's so, God gives us a great revelation, man, we want to share it with the whole world. And Joseph did, which was, I think, his mistake, because maybe he should have waited before he spoke up. But he told his dream to his brothers and his father. And basically what his dream was saying, that his brothers and his fathers would eventually bow down to him. And he's like the younger of the family, second youngest. Benjamin was the youngest, but he was telling them that, you guys gonna bow down to me? And it's like, so they were the, and he, of course, he was his dad's favorite. So they didn't like him. Anybody got siblings you don't like? Oh, you guys are good. Yeah, you better go forgive them and love. But yeah, you know, they didn't like him. So one day the dad told him, go check on your brothers. So he was looking for his brothers. And then when his brothers seen him coming from like a far away, look, there's the dreamer. Let's kill him. They really were going to kill him. But one of his brothers spoke up, said, hey, let's not shed blood. Let's just throw him in the pit. And his brother was going to come rescue him later. Threw him in the pit. But then they seen some Ishmaelites coming with a caravan. Hey, why don't we sell our brother to them? And they sold the brother. And they took him to Egypt. And they got his cloak, his tunic. And they ripped it and they put goat's blood on it and they took it back to dad. Hey, something must have happened to him. So he ended up in Egypt. And he got sold to this man named Potiphar. And he ran Potiphar's house. All good. But then Potiphar's wife had eyes for him. It's like, ooh, who's this handsome guy? And everything that he did was successful. And when Potiphar's wife went after him, he said, no, That'd be, my master gives me everything. Why should I do this against him? So she kept pursuing him. And one day he was in the house by himself. So she grabbed his jacket and he left. He fled. So she had his jacket. And she pretty much yelled, "Rape!" And that was it. He went to jail. You know, so his story is like, you know, this guy is good, he's upright, he's blameless, but all these things happen to him. He's thrown in jail and he's forgotten until Pharaoh realized that he can interpret dreams. And he did. Pharaoh called him out, he interpreted his dreams, and he saved Egypt by interpreting the dream correctly, storing up food for the 7 years of famine. And now his brothers got to come to Egypt to get food. So, and Joseph is in charge now. So they got to see Joseph for the food. But Joseph is, oh, you know, if you see movies, the Egyptian guys, they're all made up to look really like, yeah, I don't know about wearing makeup or anything, but yeah. So his brothers come to him to buy food. So the first time, they didn't recognize him. He sends them away with food, but he goes through some things and he gets one of the brothers arrested. So finally, at the end, the brothers come in and he reveals himself. He says, "I'm Joseph, your brother, who you sold." And this is what he did in Genesis 45. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer and said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Like, whoa, they must have been like, oh my gosh, he's alive. "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." So Joseph understood what he went through and why he went through it. It was to save lives. How many of you, when you go through problems and trials, you think like, why me? How many of you understand that trials develop our character, our perseverance? We may not see it in the trial, but when we come out, it's like, oh, wow, amazing. You know, some of our friends who's going through cancer treatment on the mainland, they might not know why, but when they're in treatment, they're sharing the gospel with other people. So if you read that story of Joseph, it's one of perseverance and forgiveness, and, you know, it's like, wow, he's one of my heroes. In the New Testament, one of my heroes, I mean, you would think would be the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. But I kind of like Peter. You know, the guy who was walking on water. Woo-hoo! Yeah! And then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at the waves above. He went sink. Man, that's why he said, focus, keep your eyes on Jesus. As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, but at least he was the only one to walk on water. None of the other 11 would dare to step out of the boat. You know, when I thought of Peter as one of those guys who would speak and then think. How many of you speak and then say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was stupid. My wife, "Do I look fat in this?" I ain't answering that question. No. Somebody, we speak, and then we think. You know, Peter was somewhat cowardly. Peter denied Jesus because some lady confronted him. In Matthew 16:22, Peter took him aside. He took Jesus aside. He took him aside, to rebuke him, because Jesus was saying, this is how I'm going to die, this is what's going to happen. So Peter said, took him aside, God forbid it, he said. Lord, this shall never happen to you. Imagine trying to correct Jesus. Wow. Hey, Jesus, no, you're not going to die like this, no way. Oh, so, you know, he turned to Peter and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on the interest, but on man's. So, Peter, before he was really transformed, he was like, open mouth, insert foot. Yeah? That's what he was like. And then, this is what happened in Matthew 26, 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside. So, here's the scene. Jesus is arrested. Okay? And they're taking him. So, Peter, guys, and they're following from a distance, kind of checking him out, not getting too close. But now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came and said to him, you too were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're talking about. I mean, this lady said, you were with him. And he said, no. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. It's like, wow, you spent 3 years with this guy being disciple. I don't think you learned that from him. A little later, the bystanders came and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And that's what Jesus told them. Before the rooster crowed, you will deny me. And it happened. And it's like, what is going on, Peter? This is the guy you followed. He trained you for 3 years. You've seen the miracles. You were sent out. You did many things. What happened? So then, turn the page, and we start in the book of Acts. And, you know, Jesus is crucified. These guys are in the upper room. They're kind of hiding out because they don't know what's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And in Acts 2:14, but Peter, now this is the same Peter, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice, now this room is full, and declared to them, men of Judea, all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. So this is like, he's now like bold. He's standing up before men and he's proclaiming what Jesus did. And he is like, where'd this guy come from? And it's like, because the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And now, if you read the rest of Acts, Peter is like, he shed his chicken feathers. He is now bold, and he will be bold. And it's like, I just love how the Holy Spirit transformed him to kind of like a cowardly guy to deny Jesus, someone who would speak and then think, to someone who is now boldly proclaiming the gospel. And I love it. You know, we have so much heroes in the Bible that we can learn from. It may be old lessons, maybe written years ago, but I can tell you this. It is relevant to what we face today. You know, these guys in the Bible, they fought to bring us the Word of God. These 12 that Jesus started with, they changed the world. Just 12 they started with. And we got more than 12 here. I mean, I'm not good in math, but I know we got more than 12 here. And we can do the same. We can change the world. The Word of God is so powerful. And it's amazing. When we read it, we understand it, and we apply it. And we can get so much out of it. And if you read the Bible, a lot of these heroes, man, they were no different from us. The only thing is, when they were called, most of them said yes. Some said no way, like Jonah. Remember Jonah? He said, no way, Jose, I'm going that way. He wants me to go this way, I'm going that way. Yeah. How many of you, when God asked you to do something, ran in the other direction? Yeah, fast, yeah? Never knew I could run that fast. Not me. But then eventually you come to your senses and say, wow, like Jonah did. Thank God I didn't have to be swallowed by a fish for 3 days. And then changed my mind. It was a couple of years before I actually changed my mind and decided to be obedient. And it was a good thing. So I encourage you, man, if you want to follow along with us, there's the reading plan on the table. Please grab one. Follow along with us. That way, when you have questions, because we're all reading the same thing the same week, it'll be fresh in our minds, and then you can ask it there, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? What does he mean by that? This. Then we can kind of like, okay, I just read this. This is what it means. And if we don't know, then, hey, better yet, because now we get to find out together. Amen. So, you know, every time you see a veteran, thank him. Every time you read the Bible, thank God for those examples he set before us. Amen. Yeah. You may put away your notes. Worship team, can you come up? Thank the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If ultimately Jesus is the best hero, because he saved the world. And if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it is just so great that we get to meet, we get to share your word, we get to worship. And as we get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas, let us share your love with all those who need love, who need hope, who need encouragement. Let us be bold in sharing our faith in you with others. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen. Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus. Would you stand? And we're going to go out with a bang.
Big
yeah.
Bang. Bang, bang.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. And by the way, you're one of my heroes.
Amen.
Because of the way you follow the ultimate hero, through whom all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.